What if the places you went and the things you encountered in your work were more interesting than what was available in the physical world around you? I tried.
Okay.
You might say that the difference between us and you is that we have been infected by a vision of another world. I'd been about to say a greater or a higher, but settled for another.
I don't like the infection metaphor, Archibald started to say in Orth.
I need him under the table.
You mean like a different planet?
Death asked.
Well, that's an interesting way of looking at it, I said.
Most of us don't think it's another planet in the sense of a speculative fiction spiele. Maybe it's the future of this world. Maybe it's an alternate universe we can't get to. Maybe it's nothing but a fantasy. But at any rate, it lives in our souls and we can't help striving toward it.
What's that world like?
Death asked. Behind me, a jingle began to play from someone's jeejaw. It wasn't that loud, but something about it made my brain lock up.
For one thing, it doesn't have any of those, I told Death.
After the jeejaw had been singing for a little while, I turned around. Everyone in a 20-foot radius was staring at Jessery's older brother, who was slapping himself all over trying to determine which of the pockets in his suit contained the jeejaw. Finally, he extracted it and silenced it. He stood up, as if he had not drawn enough attention to himself, and bellowed his own name.
"Yes, Dr. Grain," he went on,
staring into the distance like a holy man.
I see. Can they infest humans as well?
Really?
I was only joking. Well, how would we be able to tell if that had happened?
People turned back to their meals, but conversations were slow to restart because of sporadic incursions from Jessery's brother. Archibald cleared his throat, as only Archibald could. It sounded like the end of the world.
The primate's about to speak.
I turned around and looked at Jessery, who had realized the same thing and was waving his arms at his brother, who stared right through him. He was negotiating a bulk rate on biopsies. He was a very tough negotiator. Women in the party, sisters and sisters-in-law of Jessery, had begun to feel ashamed and to tug at the man's elbows. He spun around and stalked away from us.
"Excuse me, doctor, I didn't catch that last part. Something about the larvae?"
But in his defense, as I looked around, I could see that he was only one of many who were using G-Jaws for one purpose or another. Statho had already addressed us twice. The first time had been ostensibly to greet everyone, but really to nag us into taking our seats. The second time had been to intone the invocation, which had been written by Dyax himself while the rake blisters were still fresh on his hands. If you could understand Proto-Orth, and if you happened to be a mushy-headed, number-worshipping enthusiast, the invocation would make you feel distinctly unwelcome. Everyone else just thought it added a touch of class to the proceedings. Now, he told us, we were going to be entertained by a contingent of Edharians. Statho's grasp of Fluckish was weak. The way he phrased it, he was commanding us to be entertained. This made laughter run through the crowd, which left him nonplussed and asking the inquisitors, who were flanking him at the high table, for explanations. Three fras and two sewers sang a five-part motet, while 12 others milled around in front of them. Actually, they weren't milling, it just looked that way from where we sat. Each one of them represented an upper or lower index in a theoretical equation involving certain tensors and a metric. As they moved to and fro, crossing over one another's paths and exchanging places while traversing in front of the high table, they were acting out a calculation involving the curvature of a four-dimensional manifold involving various steps of symmetrization, anti-symmetrization, and raising and lowering of indices. Seen from above by someone who didn't know any theorics, it would have looked like a country dance. The music was lovely, even if it was interrupted every few seconds by the warbling of jeejaws. Then we ate and drank more. Then the new circle fras sang their piece, which was much better received than the tensor dance. Then we ate and drank more. Statho made it all tick along, like Cord running her five-axis mill. We weren't used to seeing him do a lot of work, but he was earning his beer this evening. To the visitors, this was just a free feed with weird entertainment. But in truth, it was a ritual as old and as important as Provener. And so there were certain boxes that had to be checked if we were to get out of it without drawing a rebuke from the Inquisition. And Statho was the kind who would have done it the right way, even if Varax and O'Dally hadn't been sitting there asking him to pass the salt.